I'm Werner Vinge, and I'm a science fiction writer. I really felt a sort of internal intellectual revolution when I read David Friedman's Machinery of Freedom. The sort of pure form that David Friedman wrote about in Machinery of Freedom, and wrote about it very, very attractively and brilliantly, made a big difference to me. Science fiction has always been the great reading influence on me, starting with writers like Poul Anderson and Robert Heinlein and Arthur C. Clarke, and many more, but those are three very important ones. Science fiction, more than any other genre that I know about, allows you to write stories that experiment with things. And fiction in general, more than any other art form, is one that uses the consumer's mind and imagination as a display device. And so this means that in theory, a writer, if they can engage the reader, can impress readers that are a lot smarter than the writer is. Rainbow's End grew out of a story with a similar technology called Fast Times at Fairmont High. And I tried to make the world a lot, you know, quite recognizable from our present world, but it just takes the trends that I think everybody, you know, who's watching this online is very much aware of, and just pushes those with a couple elements that are just beginning to become widely, you know, popular. One is the notion of embedded processors in almost everything. The other is that those are networked. And the third thing is that these devices know where they are, and they can talk to one another. That is sort of an internet beneath the internet, a digital plankton layer. And that can support some very strange things, especially once you get proper display devices. The way I use the term singularity is to, when I'm talking about technology, is the feeling that in the relatively near historical future that we humans, using technology, will create or become creatures of superhuman intelligence. And the reason why this is special compared to other forms of technological progress is that if it happens, then the fundamental thing that has put us at the top of the, or what we regard as the top of the pyramid in the world, has now been trumped, and that there is something in that direction, something even better that is going along. And so in the 1800s and the 1900s and the 20th century, you could talk about and predict a technology. Some people were right and some people were wrong. And in the end, what's happened is probably mostly unexpected. But if you could magically talk to somebody from the 1800s, like Mark Twain, who'd be all ears since he was a technophile, you could explain what's going on in our era, probably in as much time as this interview is taking, and he might not believe you, but he would understand what you were saying. That's what it's like to talk about technological progress before the singularity. To talk about technological progress after the singularity and explain that, for that, the explanation exercise would be like trying to imagine how we could explain our present era to a goldfish or a flatworm. It's intrinsically inaccessible. In a very simplified way, we have makers and breakers in the world. And the smart people in the world have made so many wonderful things, and it's so easy for the breakers to use them. And breakers have all sorts of motives, including just the motive of breaking it because it's so beautiful and people are so happy with it. I think actually in the last 10 years, there's been two things that have made me tilt more to think that the makers can keep the breakers from bringing everything down. And the first of those is the penetration of cell phones worldwide between 2000 and 2010. And that is something that it exceeds. If you had put that in a science fiction story, you would have gotten flack for it being, oh, that's typical 1940-ish, over the top, impossible. You know, don't you know how you know, social things can't change like that, especially constructive things. And that one thing is just so awesome. And its impact is so awesome that's a very big plus. It makes me sort of tend toward the makers. And the other is something whose story is not finished, and you know, we can all still be made to look very foolish if we say but I think in small things like Wikipedia, which is not a small thing, but I mean it's a small thing compared to the end of the world or the salvation of the world. But Wikipedia, if you had asked me in 1995 again, well, what about this idea? And I said, nah, don't you know, there are people who like to just defile, and when it's as easy as it is with the web to defile things, there are breakers out there. They would never let this work. And the fact that it has worked so magnificently is, in a way, it even gives me some hope for the, you know, really serious violent breakage that technology will eventually make possible.